Hey everyone, I'm gonna let everybody hop in. I am not Corinne, as you can tell. I'm MJ. I will change my name. So Corinne had a doctor's appointment, but she recorded us a video about closing the kitchen. So she is gonna teach, then I am gonna answer questions. And Coach Lisa is with us as well. I am going to rename myself. So, yeah, so she is teaching. She recorded us a video. And, yeah, so it's going to be awesome. You get both of us today. Both of us. It's amazing. All right. So, Coach Lisa is here. Make sure that your chat is set to everyone. Also, make sure that you know that Coach Lisa will be typing in all caps so that you know that it's her talking to you. Also, please know that I have a dog in the floor and he is eating a bone and sounds like Jabba the Hutt. If you hear anything, that's what it is. All right. So I'm going to give everybody a minute to get in, get going. We're going to talk about the monthly challenge for this month, how to unlock. We got two more prizes to unlock, y'all, and they're the big ones. They're the big ones. So I want to make sure that everybody knows how to unlock those prizes and register for the prizes that we've already unlocked and the ones yet to be unlocked. We have got 2,000 pounds to get by Monday. So I know we can do it for sure. So I want to make sure everybody knows where that is. And then we're going to watch Corinne's video about closing the kitchen. And then I will answer questions. So if you are new here, I am MJ. I keep changing what I am. I'm the member journey director, maybe. I don't know. Maybe, I guess. It sounds good, right? I'll call myself that. So once you're a member, I am responsible for everything that happens to you inside of this membership, basically. So that's what I do here. And I also fill in for Corinne some when she got doctor's appointments and she travels to Vegas and such. So I know Coach Lisa's shouting out the Canadians. All right. So I'm going to first share my screen and show you how we're going to unlock these prizes, y'all, because it is very important that we unlock these prizes so that, you know, all the things happen. Here we go. I already pulled it up because I'm awesome like that. Hopefully you can see the screen. Here's the monthly weight loss challenge page on nobswomen.com under monthly weight loss challenge. There it is. So there are two things going on every week or every time you weigh in, if it's once a month, once every other week, every day, whenever it is, you need to come over here and fill out the weekly weigh-in survey. Okay. If you filled it out once, keep filling it out. Okay. Anytime you weigh, you just come over here and click on it. Let us know how many pounds you've lost so that we can unlock prizes. Filling out that survey does not register you for a prize. It's just getting our thermometer to rise. That's it. So to get registered for a prize, you come here, you can see as of this has not been adjusted, but as of yesterday, we were at 8,000 pounds. So here's the thermometer. We're trying to get to 10,000 pounds. If you want to win a prize, scroll all the way to the bottom, click here to register for your prize. Okay. You put your name, your email address, your mailing address, because some is mailing things, phone number, how long you've been a member, how did you participate in the challenge? Then right here, did you participate in this challenge with your accountability group? If you did anything with your accountability group, select yes, that you did that. So that way, when we unlock the $10,000 prizes, one prize is going to be 1 month of coaching, one-on-one coaching with Corinne, 4 30-minute sessions. And there will also be 4 30-minute coaching sessions with Corinne if you win as an accountability group. So make sure you're into, like, if you're in a group with four people and all four of you people register for prizes, that means your group has four chances to win. So make sure that your group is registering for these prizes and noting that they participated with the accountability group. So that means you could win coaching with Corinne individually. You can win coaching with your accountability group, like as a group. So make sure that you are filling this survey out. It's very important, very important. So just filling out your weekly weigh-in does not register you for a prize. You must actually register. And that is open until the 31st. You can also put your pounds in until the 31st. We are working it, honey. We are working it. We are going to unlock those prizes. I know it is so, I'm so excited. I'm so excited about it. 8,000 pounds as of yesterday. I know we can push it over the top by Monday. Go ahead and get those pounds in. All right. If we're in an accountability group, are we eligible for both the individual prizes and the accountability prize? Yes, Elena, you sure are. So when you fill that out, anybody that fills it out will go into the drawing for individual prizes. And anyone that selects, yes, I participated with my group, will be on another list. And we have some kind of, Yasmin has some kind of amazing randomizer that she clicks on. I don't know exactly. She makes magic happen. And she selects a name. So yes, y'all have lots of chances. And there were lots of prizes. And the one right below that, which we've already unlocked, is just, you know, 4 sessions with an OBS coach of your choice. So there are lots of opportunities to get coaching, private coaching. So excited. Y'all know I get excited. All right. I have one Q&A. If you have 5 in your accountability group, you got 5, all 5 of you fill it out. That's your name is in that accountability group drawing 5 times. If y'all all fill out that weight loss, that participated survey at the end of the month. So Debbie asked a good question. Do you register only once or each week? So there are 2 surveys. One is your weigh-in survey that you fill out every time you weigh in. If you've lost weight, you fill it out. We get the thermometer to rise. And then from now through the end of the month, if you participated at all, you must come back, scroll to the bottom of the monthly weight loss challenge page and fill out your participation survey. So we had one survey kind of running all week, all month, so that we could collect pounds lost to make the thermometer rise. And then if you participated at all, I don't even shit if y'all lost weight, y'all. Weight loss was not a requirement. You were trying shit. You were closing the kitchen, leveling up your food. If you did any of that, you get over there and you register for prizes. Yeah, but you only register once. So there's 2 forms. One you filled out every week or every time you weighed. And the other one is the one-time survey that you participated. All right, let's watch Corinne. Why don't we? Anybody want to watch Corinne? I can't remember what I'm trying to figure out what I, there's one where I can mute myself and one where I can't, but we'll see. You know what? If I can't mute myself, I can't mute myself. Oh, the beauties of technology. Wait, what did that do? Hold on. Please hold. Y'all know me, technology are like, girl. Okay. I think I can just do this. Okay. Look, I don't even think okay. You know what? It's all good. Every time I try to do something technological, I start to sweat. Michelle says the registration asks how much weight I've lost this month and the month is over. It's fine. Just go ahead and fill out what you've lost as of now and go ahead and submit it. All right. Can y'all see Corinne? Let me know. If y'all can see her, just let me know. Can y'all see her? Yes. Okay, good. Thank you very much. I'm going to hit play. I'm going to try to mute myself. That may not work. We'll see. You know, we'll see.
Well, hello, everyone. We are going to talk today all about closing the kitchen at night so we can help curb some overeating patterns that happen. I'm going to give you, this is just a lot of tactical, a lot of things that you can try, things you can think about, things that you can do, because I know for a lot of us, it's that nighttime eating. I will be really honest, nighttime eating is probably the hardest one for me. If I'm going to overeat, it's almost always at night. If I am going to have an urge, feel snacky, want something extra, I think like 95% of mine is all at night. I am really good in the mornings. I don't have problems in the afternoon. I used to have problems during those times. So the reason I want to say that is because there is hope. Just because you have problems with eating during those times, it doesn't mean that over time it can't be unwound. So a lot of this is going to help apply to all the different times we overeat. So just use, even if you're not an nighttime eater, use some of these techniques during the times of day where you do overeat. And I will also say this, if you have multiple times during the day that you are urgy, you're snacky, you do overeat, please don't try to solve all of them at once. I'm a firm believer in tackling one area of overeating, and you just get really good at that one area. And the rest of the time, it's not that you don't, like, it's not that you ignore it or that, oh, I can overeat now because I'm only working on this one area. We don't want to tell ourselves that story. But what we don't want to also tell ourselves the story of is, because I'm still eating in the afternoon, I can just blow it at night. What we want to say to ourselves is, I am working on my overeating. The first area that I'm going to work on and really focus on and put all my energy and effort is in this one. So if I overeat at other times, I'm not going to use that as an excuse and some bullshit to blow it in another time. We're not going to do that. And then I also am a big believer in, if you work on them one at a time and you get one nailed, the next one gets easier. Because if you nail one of your overtime, if you nail one of your overeating habits, you have to practice urges. You have to practice listening to yourself. You have to practice saying no. You get to see that it's not as bad as you think it will be. All of that learning will translate into other areas. So you won't have to start from scratch on the next one. You're going to start on the next overeating pattern way further ahead down the road. Okay, so let's talk about different things that you can do. And I have a bunch of them and I've got my notes in front of me. So I'm just going to get right to it. Number one, set a cutoff time at night when you are going to stop eating. So one of the things that I think is very helpful is, rather than telling myself, I'm not going to snack tonight, I can't have any food after 7 o'clock, I say something very loving and compassionate, which is, once dinner is over, I have decided to close my kitchen and meet my emotional needs. I have decided to close my kitchen and figure out what I truly need if it's not food. But like allowing your brain to have that story around closing your kitchen is so important, because the one thing that we don't want to do is jack up our anxiety and jack up our cortisol because we're admonishing ourselves, saying like, no more snacking, you can't have it. You know, you're such a lazy fuck that we've got to close the kitchen. You know, not everybody else has to do this, but you do. Be on the watch out for how you talk about closing your kitchen. The way to make it easier to do, just one simple way to make it easier to do, is to have a very open, loving and honest, like, we're going to try this for a few days and we're just going to see what happens. And if you don't love it, you can always go back to eating at night, but let's just see what happens. I just want you to think about the version of you that talks that way, is open, is curious, is relaxed, is willing. The other version, like, feels like they're getting punished. They feel like that's bad. You're a bad person. You can't eat after 7. Here's the thing. Any of you can eat after 7 o'clock. There is no magic fat-burning things that happen if you don't eat after 7. The reason why a lot of people like to close the kitchen at 7 is because they know they genuinely don't need food. They get dinner, and it's just normal. Like, if you go back to caveman times, you go back to just the early 1900s, people ate dinner and then they went to bed, especially when they didn't have electricity. No one was munging around in the middle of the night because they couldn't fucking see. So I want you to think about this. We eat dinner. We don't really need food anymore. We may have urges for it. We may have emotional needs going unmet. But one of the things that we can tell ourselves is, you've had plenty of food today. So anything else you want on top is probably emotional. It's probably entertainment. It's probably something else. Let's just try not eating and see if we can meet those needs. All right. The next thing that you can do is making sure that in the evenings, you're not going into your meals too hungry. So I will tell you, I'm a strong believer that food is like hunger is never an emergency, but for some of us, it will feel like one. And that's very normal because of past diet trauma. I have talked a lot about this in module one and module two and three. I think in No BS, I talk about it a lot, but I want you to hear this one more time. When you have been on diets that have overly restricted you in calories and overly restricted you in life, then when you get hungry, your brain may send up false alarms of panic and worry as if you need to overeat to compensate. It may even tell you things like, you missed a meal, you didn't get enough food today. It will do all that. What I suggest you do is take just 90 seconds to take a few deep breaths and to remind yourself, I feel like it's an emergency. I have a lot of like justifiable reasons that my brain's offering up why I should eat more, but I just want to give myself a second to remember I am just feeling feelings right now. My brain is just doing what it's normally supposed to do because of past diet trauma, but I am always going to give myself food when I need it. I do not need to panic. But if you are a chronic overeater at night, I want you to look at your patterns. Do you often miss meals? Are you unintentionally skimping on meals for fear you'll overeat at night? All that does is it builds up all day long. Your willpower and your resiliency to skimp and stuff, oh, it'll be intact in the first part of the day. But eventually you run out of that resource and you run out of it at night. So I want you to look at and say, you know, I don't want to go into dinner overly hungry. And even if that means if I'm the slightest bit hungry, or I know I typically, like a lot of you will, let's say you get off work at 5 o'clock and y'all don't eat dinner till 7 because you got to commute and stuff. And you're not really hungry at 5, but somewhere between 5 and 7, you get pretty ravenous. Like you have that panic and stuff. Here's what I would do. I would go ahead and plan a snack, a very small one and an unprocessed one. I am not talking about like, do not eat protein bars, granola bars, chips and candy. No. If you really want to curb the nighttime eating, I suggest you plan nuts, an apple, a banana, a little bit of peanut butter, something that's unprocessed so that your body has to really digest it, and just a small amount to take down the panic and the urgency that you like. I want you to really study the pattern, because if that is your pattern during there, we want to break the pattern of panic, being hangry, and going in with your brain racing. So giving yourself just a little bit of food could set you up to be able to go into your dinner with more calm, with your reasoning brain on board. And you can do that for a while until you're like, okay, I've gotten to where I do well at dinner. I am no longer overeating. I am no longer overeating at night. Once I've solved all that, then I can see about backing that snack out and like just try like once or twice a week to see, do now that I've unwound some diet trauma, now that I've taught my body that it's going to get fed when it needs food, I might be able to do without that snack now because now I won't have the trauma response triggering. So just pay attention to that little window, and that can be at any time of the day, and give it a try. One of the other things that a lot of people don't realize that actually triggers some overeating, especially at night, it's a phenomenon called cueing. So take a look at your environment and notice if in your environment, if you see a lot of what we would call your trigger foods. So if you're surrounded by chips during the day, or you're surrounded by candy, or you're surrounded by these things, again, you may have resiliency and you may have willpower during the day, or you may have enough distractions, but your mind's eye is catching it to where you're not eating them then, but there's a buildup. And then at night, it's like all your cravings come. You want it because basically you've been saying no all day. So the answer isn't to just say yes to donuts and cookies and ice cream and shit like that all day long. It is to think about doing an environmental cleanup, which means if you can't get rid of the foods in your house, and I'm not saying because you can't control yourself. When I talk about removing foods from your house, I'm talking about it this way. We are learning how to surround you with everything that you need to have the weight loss and the life that you want. Sometimes that means we're not going to keep chips in the house anymore. If we want chips, we'll plan some chips. We'll go out, get the chips. We'll bring a smaller bag in. You will portion them up. Anything you can do to reduce your queuing. That could even mean, let's say your family wants to keep all the things. Buying a few bins to put into your pantry or to put into your cabinets or wherever that you can't see through, that it might just say snacks, or it might just say, let's say your kid's name is, Manuel. Manuel's snacks, whatever. You put them there so that your brain is not getting cued all the time. This is like a super simple hack and it really works. Another thing that's more about the nutrition side of stuff is, in order to curb a lot of evening snacking especially, is if through the day you're making sure that your meals include a protein, some fiber, God love us all, fruits and vegetables, and then a little bit of fat. A lot of you are not, we are still recovering from the fat-free days. And I am just telling you, all of that's been debunked. It is shown time and time again how much we need fat in our diet. Not only does it make you feel fuller longer, but it does a lot of work on joints. If you're like me, you give a huge fuck about the quality of your skin. I make sure that I consume a lot of good fats like avocado, nuts, seeds, oils. I do butter. I do full fat cheese. I typically do a low fat yogurt only because my favorite yogurt, I can't get it in the full fat. Otherwise, I'd be eating it, but I like that Okios, and I can only either get fat free or low fat. I don't know why that Greek yogurt is never, I just never see the full fat vanilla version, and that happens to be my favorite. But when I eat that, guess what I add to it? Pumpkin seeds. I add things to it that have fat in it. So when you are making sure that your other meals have some fat, they have some protein, and you're getting some fiber, you will see that your body starts responding different, which means at night, when it's getting more of the nutrients it needs, it's getting more of the things, some of the cravings start subsiding. All right, the other thing that you can do, I got a lot of them, you can have dinner ready to eat. So for a lot of us, what happens in the evenings is we just can't really wait for dinner, so we end up doing a lot of nibbling. If that's you, please consider making dinners ahead of time. Use a crock pot, use an Instapot, maybe get some of those pre-made dinners, do a food prep on the weekend. One of the reasons why so many of us go into a food frenzy is I go in to dinner. I'm not much of a snacker, but when I go in dinner, I'm really hungry. And that again sets off that diet trauma. For some of you, you will see a reduction in nighttime desire to overeat. If when you get home, if you could just close the gap on the time it takes for you to eat dinner than it is now. Now, I know someone in the chat is like, but my family, you don't get it, Corinne. I'd love to close the gap. But I just can't. They don't want to eat till 7:30. I'm screwed. No, you ain't. You are going to go back to what we were talking about earlier. You're going to need a small, little bitty, boring ass, unprocessed bridge meal. Just a little one. I ain't talking about a throwdown with your mama meal. I'm not talking about just eating some chips and stuff. Girl, some celery and hummus. Do something for yourself. Get a little snack in. Because what happens is if you allow yourself to get to that hangry mode, to that tipping point mode, I'm not saying that you can't defeat it. We all can use our brain. But if you know that your pattern is, my brain goes to lunch when that happens. Like, I can't even hardly think. Then you've got to do some other shit to teach your brain to come online. We got to interrupt it. And there's no shame in the game in doing that. I'm just going to tell all of you, if the goal is to lose weight, let's figure out clever little hacks and tricks to losing some weight. I want it for y'all. I need you to want to try some different things for you. All right. The next thing is a lot of you really want some dessert for dinner. And you got a sweet tooth. And your body just naturally craves it. And that is okay. So what I would love to see y'all do is rather than just eating dessert every night and then that leading, like sometimes when you eat desserts, there's a slippery slope. If your brain doesn't think that it's okay and it's automatically going to tripwire you into being like, you'll never lose weight, or it automatically tripwires you into like, well, just a little bit more. Well, just a little bit more. Change up the sweet. Don't eat the things you normally eat. For now, give yourself what you really want in the form of like fruit, in the form of like maybe fruit and a little bit of Corinne's favorite fucking yogurt in the whole wide world, Okios vanilla. Greek yogurt, my favorite in the world. It's like thick, it's good consistency, a little container, it's very filling, and throw you some berries on it. Throw you some fruit on top. Do that. Make that the dessert. Eat a little less dinner so that you have room for it, so that you're not hitting your enough before you get to it. Some of you, if you really want to plan those desserts, you're going to need to plan to eat a little less dinner so that you stay in your enough window. So, and then honestly, there are just some days that when you plan, you didn't plan a little dessert and you are extra hungry that day. And we don't know why that happened. It could be maybe you had a really like thought-provoking, had to use your brain all day the day before, and it didn't catch up with you until today. Today is the day that your body needs a little extra calories because you lifted, you know, so many Excel spreadsheets and so many calculations and so many meetings the day before. So here's what I want you to do. Have as a backup on your plans. Like if this, like this is for like for all of you, I think one of the things you bastardize when I am like giving you the information and no BS is you just think everything is a hard and fast rule. Like it has to be done this way. The biggest rule in no BS that is like the foundation of everything that we're going to do is intentional eating. Most of us are doing reactive eating or unconscious eating, and that's how we end up gaining weight. What I am telling you is work with yourself. Be very intentional. Think through things. No one's overweight because they're thinking through deliberately their patterns, their emotional needs, their wants and their desires, and trying to figure out how to make all this work in order to lose weight. Trust me, if everyone was doing that every single day, working towards making weight loss easy, very intentional, figuring out how to meet their needs, how to break their habits and stuff, and doing it in a loving way, number one, all of you'd lose your weight, and number two, none of you'd be bitching about it because you would actually fucking enjoy losing weight. What most of y'all are doing are trying to make yourself be perfect and make yourself do this and take this away, count these calories. Like you're doing all these things that are all about making yourself do stuff. Making yourself doing something is called forcing yourself. I want you to be intentional. Intentional means I am considering all the picture, the whole thing that I want. So for some of you, on those days where you didn't plan, have some backup desserts, like the yogurt. Keep frozen fruit and stuff. And on days where you're like, I am legit wanting something sweet, and I am legit even a little hungry, I'm going to have this because it's good for me. And I'm thinking about it. And yes, this is an off-plan eat, but I want to investigate. Like, maybe I just needed the food. And so I'm going to do a discovery worksheet, and I'm going to high-five myself and say, you know what? I didn't have this planned, but I was actually hungry. I'm doing the discovery worksheet to reinforce that I am intentional, that I'm paying attention, that I'm repairing years and years of diet trauma in my body. And then sometimes you'll eat it and you'll do a discovery worksheet because it wasn't on your plan, and you'll celebrate that you're making unprocessed food choices, but at the same time, you'll be like, I don't know, maybe I could have done without it. I don't know what it might be like. Maybe I'll try that next time. I want you to put more ease into all of it. Another thing that you can do is you can find, like, I think one of the things that's most important about nighttime eating is figuring out what your emotional needs are. So I would encourage you to do some journaling on what goes on for me at night. Like, don't worry about the food. Like, I want this to be a compassion exercise. I want you to ask yourself, you know, in the evenings, what do I really emotionally need? What is my emotional hunger at night? Am I hungry for guilt-free TV time? Am I emotionally hungry for being by myself in a way where I don't beat myself up for not wanting to spend time with kids or spend time with my husband? Sometimes a lot of you are eating because you need alone time. And you feel terrible that you want alone time, as if that's a bad thing. It's like, no, a lot of humans need some alone time. We need time to ourselves to decompress, to reduce stimulation. And if you don't want to do that every night, I feel you. I don't do that every night either. But even giving yourself one night a week where you unapologetically are like, this is the night I go to bed early. I tell everyone, like, this is mama night. I love you all. See you tomorrow. Whatever that is. One of the best ways to curb some nighttime eating is to figure out, what are you emotionally hungry for? And then, like, first phase is just acknowledging what the needs are. You don't have to change anything. You can keep doing it the way you're doing it. If you're afraid to change, if it makes you feel bad to change, the first thing I would do is just make peace with, these are my truest wants and desires, and they don't make me a bad person at all. In fact, I'm a pretty fucking awesome person because these are my truest wants and desires. And for years, I've been putting them on the back burner. Yay me. That makes me actually a very wonderful, caring, sensitive human being. Then we can decide, are there any that we could start meeting that wouldn't be the end of the world? There wouldn't be, you know, fire in the streets. Kids won't have pitchforks and torches and marching up and down the halls looking for mama. So just think about, like, phase one, I'm willing to acknowledge my needs and I'm not going to judge myself for them. Every woman has them. Every woman has them. Probably the same fucking ones you do. I always coach women all the time about, like, you know, a lot of us, we love our kids, but we don't necessarily want to spend tons of time with them. Some of us do. Some of us are just like, I'll spend a little time. I didn't realize it was going to be some 24/7 gig when I had this child. That was me. I was in shock and awe over it. We don't need to feel guilty about that. There's lots of us that feel that way. Then phase two is figuring out, are there any needs that I can be meeting? Is there anything I could be doing for myself that will give me that sense of being cared for, that I keep trying to use food for? And then the third phase would be to really examine some of your needs that you're judging harshly and taking that to ask coaches and debunking the shit out of it. Let them help you with the four N's on debunking the drama you have around it, because here's the always the answer. You never have to do any of it. You can always keep going the way you're going. You don't, just because you acknowledge things and debunk things and whatever, you do not have to change any of it. But give yourself the freedom and the power to at least know, this is what I truly want and desire. And that will help you overcome some of the nighttime eating. Some of the other things is like paying attention to your like emotional triggers. This is kind of what we've been talking about, but for nighttime eating, for any type of overeating, is really getting good at understanding, what are my emotional triggers? Like, what are the circumstances? What are the emotions? What are the things that go on around me that I tend to turn to food as a source of comfort, as a way to relax, as a way to distract, as a way to get through, power up, get, you know, like a lot of us are power up eaters. It's like we overeat at dinner because we know we got so much more to do for the evening. So we keep eating just to get a few more minutes of not doing for the day. So just understanding what those things are, for a lot of you, it's hard to unwind by yourself. That's why we have coaches in the Facebook group. It's why we also have Ask Coaches. It's why we try to surround you with as much support. Your no BS peers can very often, when you post about it in the Facebook group, I'm noticing these things, they can tell you what worked for them because they unwound it. They were once just like you. Some of the other things that you can also do is just be kind to yourself. Remember that you're probably going to overeat sometimes while you're figuring it out. You don't need to make that a problem. You don't need to beat yourself up. You just need to understand that as you're getting better at not overeating at night, that it's going to take finding what's not working first. The only way to know what's not working sometimes is to like take an honest look at those overeats. So be kind to yourself. And then probably the last thing that I would say for most of you is, please make sure that at night and all day long that you really are listening to your body. Listening to your body comes in a few ways. Number one, we want to make sure we are listening to our body and feeding it when it needs food. I do not want anyone starving their way through weight loss. I want you meeting your needs, your physical needs with food, so that you can have your body feel like it trusts you to listen. It is very important that when you feel like, when you are responding to your body, there is a bond that starts to reform between you and your body. And it's really important for weight loss, so that it's not having to get triggered. It's not having to panic. It's not having to do like false hunger and throw up excuses all the time. So if your body is actually hungry, please pay attention to it. Here's the other side of it. And this is super helpful. A lot of us, what we do is we overeat, or we eat foods that just aren't working for us, but we don't talk about it to ourselves. We eat the foods and stuff, and then we just go into shame and loathing. It's like, you're lazy, you'll never lose weight, you can't do this. But what you're really missing is the lesson. So set aside shame and judgment. It will be there if you want to go back to it. Trust me, shame and judgment are just like, yo, I'm your ride or die. I'll be over here in the corner. You let me know when I need to tag in. This is what you're missing. How you actually physically feel when you overeat. Are you having acid reflux? Is it not settling well? Are there things going on in your body that nighttime eating or any overeats are causing? And this is not to shame yourself. It's to like be aware of the entire story. It's like, you know, when I eat at night, it is an easy way for me to comfort myself. And it's an easy way for me to relax because my brain wants to go ham, that I should be doing other stuff. I should be wanting to play with my kids, you know, blah, blah, blah. But then we need the other side of the story, which is when I meet those needs that way, I also don't sleep as well. I tend to get acid reflux. I feel really bloated, like I'm uncomfortable. I have to change my clothes, whatever. And it sets me up to kind of think negative things about myself. The more you tell the whole story, not just I'm an emotional eater, I don't know how to feel my feelings, which means I also will never lose weight and I'm a loser. We need a better story. And the story is, I don't know how to feel my feelings yet. I've been using food to comfort myself and stuff, and I'm very aware of that now. I know the types of thinking and thoughts that I need to work on. And also, when I eat, the other side of the story is, it's physically not settling well now. It's doing these other things. And the reason why we want to do that is so that in the moments when you do eat, in the future, you've got the whole story playing. Not just the lovely part of, this is the only way I know how to relax. We can start tomorrow. We don't want just that side of the story. We want your brain also offering up, you can start tomorrow, but you're probably going to wake up. You're going to be sluggish. You're going to be feeling like shit. You're not going to shit well. Like whatever, or you're going to shit too much. We want all that story to be coming up because when the whole story is in front of you, it's easier to make a decision. If the only story is a real sexy one, of course you're going to pick it every single time. Okay, I hope this helps you with overcoming some nighttime eating. Be sure to ask questions and let us know how we can help you.
And Beth, there are a few questions in the Q&A. I'm going to answer those in just a second, but I'm going to give you some extra tips and tricks and hacks that I use because y'all know I've not always been a life and weight loss coach. Shocker. I was a physical therapist working in a nursing home and we had to eat when the patients ate, you know, we had to. So I worked in a nursing home. They eat at 11. And I never got a break except on Tuesdays because they played bingo at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and you couldn't get anybody to come to therapy at 2 o'clock on Tuesday because they were all playing bingo. But so I was starving. Because 11 to 5, like that's 6 hours. And I was so hungry. 3 kids at home, you know, come in, take my scrubs off and all that kind of stuff. And I always kept 100-calorie snack pack of nuts in my car. And I would eat those every day on the way home from work. Because remember, y'all, when you do doable hunger, you don't always have to eat to enough. So it's eat when you're hungry and stop at enough. But I knew that it was going to take me 30, 45 minutes to get dinner ready and heat it up and all that other kind of stuff. So I would eat, I was hungry for sure. And I would eat those nuts and then it didn't get me to enough. I did not get to enough, but in like 45 minutes, I was starting to get a little bit hungry again so that I could eat dinner with my family. So I did want to make that point because I talk to women all the time who are like, but if I eat to enough, I'm not going to be hungry for my meal with my family. This is when you can kind of play around with doable hunger. You want to wait till you're hungry if you can, unless you're a teacher or a shift worker and you have to eat at certain times. But you don't always have to eat to enough. All right. Here are a few questions. Anonymous. If I previously used food to cope with my emotions and I stopped that because I'm more intentional, what is a tangible thing to do to pivot when I'm uncomfortable? So far, I have drank a soda water or tea, but that doesn't move me through the emotions like boredom. First of all, boredom is an emotion. And sometimes you just want to be bored. I would ask, like, why is it wrong to be bored? A lot of times for women, we associate boredom with lazy. Like, you know, I could be folding those clothes. I should be doing these other things. And so then you are bored and then you feel guilty because you don't have anything to do or you're not doing the things you think you should do. So Corinne talked about it in the video. Let go of the guilt. Sometimes you just want to sit and just be still and it's okay. And you don't always have to fill your time. Sometimes you can just sit and watch TV or call a friend or just read a book, any of that kind of stuff. boredom is an emotion. It does not always have to be fixed. You used to fill that time with food when you were bored, but sometimes it is, you just be a little bit uncomfortable. Be like, I'm uncomfortable right now because typically this is when I eat. Of course, I'm a little uncomfortable because I've always eaten in the past when I'm bored. But right now I know I'm not hungry. It's having that really good conversation with yourself, just like Corinne was talking about on the video. You know, you can go through the normalize, neutralize, all that kind of stuff. It's normal for me to feel this way because I've always eaten. The fact is I have nothing to do right now or think there are things I don't want to do right now. And I'm not hungry. I can just sit here and give myself what I need is the answer sometimes. Linda says, how do I figure out what my need is at 8 p.m. every night? Don't eat and your brain will let you know. It's just as simple as that. When you choose not to eat, all the thoughts will come up because you've been shutting them up with food for so long and haven't given yourself an opportunity to even figure out what you need instead. So you'll recognize the judgment. You may even recognize that you're tired if you just don't eat. So make sure that when you don't eat, you can even like a little pen and paper or your iPad, jot down some notes, whatever comes up for you. You'll hear it. When you're not eating, it's like, I should just go to bed. You know, I'm tired. I never did call that and make that appointment. I really need to go put a load in the laundry. I wonder if I should. Maybe I need to. That's when all the judgment comes up and you're like, no, I'm fine. I can sit here right now. All of that I can get done tomorrow. But when you don't eat, then you know. And at 8 o'clock, a lot of us are tired. Yo, we tired. Like we just need to go to bed. A lot of nighttime eating is just fatigue. It's just tired. And we've always thought that food gives us energy, which in some cases it does, right? Like give us a little ump. But a lot of times we just need to go to bed. Go to bed. Okay, Terry says, can you explain again what to do if you panic when you feel hungry? I'm not losing and don't know how to make a tiny change. So I want you to watch the replay of this because Corinne talks a lot about that in this video. But instead of just all or nothing, she was even talking about that in the video. You want to, your first level up, Terry, may not be closing the kitchen. It may not be don't eat after a certain time. Can I just set a timer for 10 minutes and see what happens? I'm okay. I'm safe. I'm in my house. Probably you've had diet trauma where you weren't allowed, you couldn't eat. You weren't allowed to eat. There were probably times when you were hungry and out of points. There were probably times when you were hungry and somebody shamed you and you chose not to eat in that moment. And it's just creating that safety. So for you, a level up may be, can I just wait 5 minutes? See what happens. Can I just wait 10 minutes? Set a timer. Then celebrate the fuck out of yourself. Okay, nothing happened. Now I can go eat. Create that trust with yourself, with your body, with food, with hunger. I love, that's a good question though, Terry. A lot of us have been hangry or like just not able to eat for so long. When we start to feel hunger, our brains freak out because it's like, oh my God, what if I don't have any food? It's like, there's food around, plenty of food in my house. I can go get food if I need it. Food is always available to me now. Just start to remind yourself, it's not like it used to be. I can eat if I'm hungry. That's a great question, Terry. I overeat because I'm lonely, which triggers my anxiety at night when everyone is doing their own thing. I don't know how comfortable with these feelings. My meds are not working, and it's not time for the next dose. I don't know what to do. So I want you to really separate this out. you're not overeating because you're lonely. Lonely is a feeling. You're overeating because of a thought. This is too hard. It shouldn't be this way. Everybody's doing their own thing and I'm alone. That is what is kind of triggering that lonely feeling. Okay. So first of all, if you've got meds that aren't working, always go to your doctor and see if there's some adjustments that need to be made. It may be time to go back and visit your doctor again. Number one, and being lonely is like, what could you do to fill some space? Could you watch TV? Could you get an accountability partner and reach out to them? Could you go into our Facebook group and create some connection there? To be like, I'm sitting here, I'm by myself, I'm lonely. What y'all got? What funny memes do y'all have? You could do that. And just remind yourself, a lot of times if I'm alone, I'm like, I'm so lonely. I'm like, I'm alone. Yes, I'm by myself, but am I really lonely or am I bored? Or do I just need to find something else to do? Oh, Connie said only boring people get bored. I know. Isn't that funny? Yeah, it's true. Like bored to me is like, sometimes I enjoy bored. Like you can decide that bored is not a terrible thing. Suzanne, I have a terrible nighttime habit. So first of all, Suzanne, you have a nighttime habit. You have a habit that you notice at nighttime. A lot of us have habits. It's not terrible or good or bad. It's just a habit. Just like food. It's just food. Especially after a couple of drinks, I get drowsy but fight going to bed. It's a rebellious feeling. So I think I need something crunchy and start eating mindlessly. So Suzanne, that's a great question. So we can also talk about drinking. If you are drinking, you're typically going to munch. So I always said when I used to do drinking calls all the time. But what happens typically is we have a number of drinks that we still make amazing decisions. Once you go over that number, your decisions aren't as amazing. So the first thing to ask yourself is, if your number is 2, why am I choosing the second drink? I want to make better decisions for myself. Why have I decided to have the second drink? So you can even do that, because it does make it much more difficult to have conversations. So you may need an external trigger, especially if you've been drinking. And this is for anybody who feels like they walk into the kitchen and their brain just shuts off and they're like, I don't know what happened. Next thing you know, I'm elbow deep into some Cheetos and I don't know how that even happened. Kathy Hartman had an amazing idea that I used when I was losing weight. I printed out a discovery worksheet and put it in my snack cabinet to remind me. Corinne was talking about put those snacks that you tend to have a little bit of trouble around, make them difficult to get to. Set a trigger in your house, in your environment to remind you, no, not today. Because a lot of times we're like, you know, Cheez-Its are sitting right there on the counter, or you leave the cookies out or whatever. It's so easy to get to. Make it more difficult. Put it in the pantry, on a high shelf, in a box, behind something. Put a stop in there so that you have the opportunity to at least have another thought. Because a lot of you are in such a habit of just going in and grabbing whatever it is. You need to put it in a different place so that you trigger yourself to like, oh, why is it here? Oh, I know why it's here, because I wasn't going to eat it today. That is really such an amazing way to create a new habit. Same thing with like, if you know every time you sit in the eating chair, you have an urge, switch seats, get out of your eating chair. You go through the same exact motions every single day. And then you expect the urge that's always been there not to show up. Sometimes we need to trick our brain into being like, oh, well, we never eat in this chair. We're not in the eating chair. What's going on? And it gets confused. And then maybe the urge doesn't even get sent up, or maybe it's not as strong. Oh, you want to see my outfit? It's some overalls. I'll show it to you before I get off. Somebody's playing Sudoku. I'm not good at math. So it frustrates me. Sudoku does. This is a great, for any of you who struggle with nighttime eating, this is really a great place for accountability, for an accountability group. We will either set you up with one, or you can go into the Facebook group and say, hey, I am a nighttime eater. I'm alone a lot of times, whatever it is, you know, whatever you want to say in the Facebook group. Anybody else have nighttime urges? We can go back and forth in the evening and remind each other what we're trying to do. And then you can just go register on the website for, you know, register your accountability group. But if you want us to sign you up with one, 100% we can set you up with one. And use your accountability partners. Y'all got 12,000 people who are all trying to lose weight here with you. Give yourself an opportunity to make some connections, reach out, work on these things together. The best thing would be somebody who used to be a nighttime snacker. You could go into the Facebook group and say, hey, I am a nighttime snacker. I'm trying to, you know, change my ways. Who's been successful at stopping eating at night? Who wants to be my accountability partner? Find somebody one step ahead of you. Don't sit around. Sometimes you'll get in an accountability group and all y'all have nighttime urges. And then y'all just sit around at nighttime having a kumbaya about how horrible it is. Go ask for somebody who's already overcome it. In the Facebook group, say 30 days. I just want a 30-day accountability partner. That's it, to help me. Who has been successful at tackling this? It's a great way to do it. We don't need to sit around with somebody who's, sometimes it is helpful if y'all are determined to work on it, but that, whatever you're working on, head on over to that Facebook group and say, hey, this is what I'm working on. Who figured this shit out? Who wants to be my partner for 30 days? Y'all ain't got to be partners from now till, you know, the end of time. Like, set up a short 30-day accountability group check-in, because we got a lot of successful women inside of No BS. EFT is very good. In that trusting your body, for those of you that have a lot of urges, that now versus nurture, now plus nurture process in trusting your body is amazing. It is really, really good. We've got on the website, if you know that you have urges every night, look, I'm going rogue, Mish and Lisa, make you work for finding stuff. Planning for urges worksheet. If you have urges every night, plan for them. Don't just have an amazing thought that you write down in your journal in the morning. Tonight's going to be amazing. I've eaten cookies every night for the past 20 years, but tonight will be different. Here's my amazing thought. And then you close your journal. And then at 8 o'clock at night, you're like, but I wrote that thought this morning. What is wrong with me? Why do I want cookies again? Do that planning for urges worksheets. Yes. What if I can't watch TV without eating? But TV is a way of unwinding. Prove yourself wrong. There is no way that every single time that you've ever watched television, you have had food in your mouth. I'm calling bullshit on that thought. There have been times in your life that you watched TV and did not eat. So we know it is possible. And again, you probably have a very specific pattern. You probably, if I had to guess, Anonymous, you got an eating chair. Get your ass out the eating chair. Move seats. Even if you, I had a private client one time, she was like, I sat eating chair adjacent and it was not that bad. She literally just moved over one couch cushion. And that little bit of change decreased her urges. And again, just say, like at night, do the level ups, y'all. You don't have to be a person who eats every single night in front of the TV to somebody who never eats at night in front of the TV. Can you be a person who for the first 30 minutes of TV watching, no snacks will be had? or from the first time I have a thought about going up and getting a snack because I'm watching TV, I'm going to set a timer for 30 minutes. I'm going to watch the show. And then if I want to go get a snack, I can. It's not all or nothing. It's those little level ups that make the biggest difference. It's proving to yourself that it's possible. I have been exploring and experimenting with ice cream for a long time. I just decided on a new experiment, which is to have it when I really want it, 1 to 2 times a week and not just on the weekends. And then once a month, planning to overeat it. Is that strengthening the overeating muscle, or is it possible it's a healthy, thoughtful decision that I get to make, just like in how some people choose to drink a few extra drinks just once in a while? I want you, anonymous, Lisa and Mish, get her the Fuck It Foods worksheet and post it right here. So it is one thing to say, I'm just going to overeat it. Coach Julie did a call this past week. It's already up on the replays. Don't y'all love, I'm just making y'all do all these links. I listened to it the other day. She talked about ice cream. She intentionally sat down, pen and paper, and I want you to do exactly the same thing. She thought about how much she loved ice cream when she took a bite, and how does it feel in my mouth? Being very intentional, she realized that after like 2 or 3 bites, it was not as amazing as she thought it was going to be. I want you to listen to that call, and I want you to do an intentional Fuck It Foods worksheet. Sit down, favorite ice cream, set aside time, intentionally eat it bite for bite for bite. It was such a good call, was it not? It was so good. And I could listen to Julie all day. I really could. You know, I'm over the top, and she's so calm. And she always says, I support you. I love when she says that to me. It was, what call was it? Saturday? I don't remember what day it was. It was her last call, though. So if you go on the website or on the podcast, it's like Coach Julie. Yeah, that Fuck It Foods worksheet was so good. There's a call. There's a worksheet. When you notice there's something that you just feel like you can't control yourself around, that is such a great, oh, it was, thank you, Jen. Jen for the win. The good, better, best call from this last week. It was so good. She's talking about leveling up and like ice cream, and oh, it was amazing. If y'all haven't listened to that, she talks about all the different ways you can level up. Cause a lot of times we think good, better, best, like, you know, like a deep dish pizza and then a, you know, thin crust pizza and then a cauliflower crust pizza, whatever. She was talking about like pieces of pizza would be a level up, like just different ways to level stuff up. Like she really does get you thinking about what level ups could really look like. It was really, really good. Okay. So I will stand up at the end to show you my outfit. But if you have a nighttime eating habit, go to Ask Coaches. When you're having an urge, you know, I talked about going into Facebook, but you can also go into Ask Coaches. Sometimes just typing it out to a coach, just typing it out, give yourself the opportunity to type it out is good. It's enough, right, to get you going. There is also a call on Thursday night at 7 Central, 7 p.m. Central for nighttime eaters. So if you eat, we're going to meet you where you are at nighttime. It's a great one. And finish strong, y'all. Don't forget, you have until Monday night at 11:59 to get us to 10,000 pounds lost. We want to unlock those prizes. We want to unlock those prizes. And, you know, we plan months out. And I think it's October. We were talking about yesterday. Corinne's already got prizes lined up for October. And I was like, I want to win. I want to win that prize. I do. I'm desperate to win the October prize. I can't tell you about it, but I want it. Somebody's going to get very blessed to have this prize. I'm like, fuck, I want that prize. Yeah, is the call? Oh, yeah. Mish, this is how tired I am. Like, just my brain is so scattered. I said there's a call on Thursday night, and Mish goes, there's a call tomorrow night. I was going to say it's Thursday. Well, today's Wednesday. So I am right. It is on Thursday. And so is Mish, which is tomorrow. All right, y'all. Please have an amazing day. Please post in Facebook, write in to ask coaches, reach out for help. I mean, listen, y'all ain't by yourself in this stuff anymore. You don't have to do this alone. Let us help you figure it out. That's what we're here for. That's what we wake up for every day. Just reach out. All right, y'all. Everybody have a great rest of your day. I'll see y'all in Facebook and all over the places. Y'all have a great day. Bye, y'all.